This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Cash for Clunkers just keeps evolving.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We've been telling you about dealerships having inventory shortages because of Cash for Clunkers' popularity. The government now says people who want to buy a new, more fuel-efficient car not available on the car lot can get the rebate even if they order it from a manufacturer. Of course, the auto industry is still reeling from months and months of terrible sales. Shortly after Chrysler went into bankruptcy back in April, it announced it was closing nearly 800 dealerships to get its inventory back in line with market demand. Now, however, it's actually planning to open new dealerships, in some cases not very far from the ones that are closing. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Chrysler argued it had to cut loose dealerships to bring supply in line with demand, but Edmunds.com auto analyst Michelle Krebs says it's now clear Chrysler took advantage of its situation to shut dealerships it had wanted to close for some time.
State franchise laws were written largely by dealers. They're very protective of dealerships, and it's very hard to get rid of a dealer, even if they're a very bad one.
Unless, of course, you're in federal bankruptcy protection. Krebs says Chrysler's move is all about location. Even putting a dealer a few blocks away from where it's been for decades could boost sales dramatically. Dealers like Wade Walker in Vermont are not amused by Chrysler's reshuffle.
Why would an auto dealer want to invest millions of dollars and build a facility, build a clientele, all to have it ripped away through a bankruptcy process?
Walker says he's lost 25% of his business since he was forced to stop selling Jeeps. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Hey, world investors are in a buying mood today. European shares are higher right now, under 0.5%. Asian markets were mostly in positive territory, but the Chinese benchmark lost 3% today. Wall Street yesterday, another day of gains. The S&P 500 added 0.7%. The Dow closed the day up 36 points to 93.98. This weekend marks the 40th anniversary of the Woodstock Music Festival. The event was billed to highlight the relationship between music and peace and ended up being a big economic boost for the small town of Bethel, New York. One festival that's been gaining an audience in recent years is Bonnaroo. This summer, it brought dozens of acts, including Elvis Costello and Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, to Manchester, Tennessee. That's a city about an hour's drive southeast of Nashville. Betty Superstein is the mayor of Manchester. She joins us now on the phone. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
We're doing well. We're talking tens of thousands of people making their way to your town every year. That's got to be a logistical nightmare.
No, not really. The first year, it took us by surprise. Who would have thought over 100,000 people would show up? And it was a nightmare. The interstate was clogged.
What's the payoff, Madam Mayor, for all of that?
It's just like a large industry. We think it's like a $20 million impact on the area. Plus, they spend close to $3 million on materials, labor, and supplies. in Coffee County for those 4 days.
A lot of people look at this very much like Woodstock, but a good number of the people who go to Bonnaroo weren't even born when Woodstock happened. I mean, how much is the legacy of Woodstock felt at this event?
I think it's the age of many of the festival goers. They don't know Woodstock, but people my age, yes, I'd say it was like the birth of many of these. The people our age, they see that as the beginning. But this Bonnaroo, it just keeps, this past year was just beautiful. It just flowed.
Betty Superstein is the mayor of Manchester, Tennessee. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
American Public Media presents the Scratchpad blog. Host Scott Jagow keeps you updated on business news worth talking about. Available daily at marketplace.org.
You know, winemakers have long argued their business is recession-proof, but this downturn has tested that. People are going out less. And that's cut deeply into wine sales in restaurants. So winemakers say they'll need to find new buyers, including one market the business had previously written off. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Ethan Lindsay reports.
Matt Maloney is a 34-year-old landscaper in Bend, Oregon. On a warm summer evening, he's sipping a beer in a patio bar.
I do like wine, but I drink beer. Wine, I think, has this, maybe not stigma, but some sort of something attached to it that makes it a little more formal instead of social.
Men, on average, say they prefer beer to wine, according to a Gallup poll last year. Industry research shows that women make up 70% of wine buyers. Winemakers are trying to change that. Ted Farthing is the executive director of the Oregon Wine Board.
We're all fighting for share of stomach.
Now winemakers across the country hope to make wine more masculine. Chris Justema is the co-owner of another Bend brewery and bar, Cascade Lakes Brewing. He says wine is more of a dinner party beverage than something to drink while hanging around with the boys.
You know, it's cool for guys to sit around and drink a bottle of wine. Let's not get away from it. But most guys I know at least start with a few beers and then move to a glass of wine at dinner.
Some well-known winemakers have even crafted labels and names specifically for men. Names like Kung Fu Girl, Red Truck, and Maximus. Others are advertising in sports known to attract men. For instance, Sonoma County's Bennett Lane Winery bought a NASCAR racing team and just sponsored a minor league NASCAR race. Just 30 minutes north of Cascade Lakes Brewing, Marigus Winery hosts tasting and jazz shows. Owner Doug Marigus says sports and cars aren't the only ways to appeal to men.
Most men are going to like either red wine or a slightly sweet white wine. Just what I've seen. I'm not saying that I actually make it thinking, how can I attract men?
The secret? Just to make good wine. In Bend, Oregon, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Cheers!
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.